Hey Nancy, can you hear me? I can't hear you.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Better.
I didn't get a panelist link. This is the public Zoom link. So Laura usually sends out a link for the public and then a panelist link, and I didn't get a panelist link.
I think you must be a panelist, Debbie, because you're here with me now.
Okay.
Hi, Larry. Who else is
Larry's on? Are you the host, Nancy?
Lori is. Larry, you're on mute.
There.
Yay.
Yeah, Jeff is not going to be with us tonight.
Yeah, he told me that.
Is it us three right now?
Or right now, yes.
Okay. I'm going to mute myself because I've got a fan going. It's kind of loud.
Yeah, we've got another minute.
Okay.
Hi, Sharon.
Hi, Larry. Hi, Debbie.
Hi, Sharon.
Hi, Sharon. You guys survive in the heat?
Yeah.
That's what Cindy said. It's hot. It's not hot. It just feels good.
Yeah. You should be living in Arizona, Larry, with your attitude about the heat. You love the heat. Yeah.
Where are my kids in Florida, where they're burning up down there.
Mm. Well, in more ways than one, huh, Larry?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Looks like we have Javier and Sophia, so we're waiting for Nakaya and Jimmy and Brian, I guess, because I think Jeff, as you said, Larry, won't be joining us.
What's that background noise?
It's my fan. I'm muting.
Oh. It didn't sound like a fan, so I didn't guess it was a fan.
Yeah, it sounded, there was a buzz sound.
Yeah, it sounded like a buzz. You're right.
Insisting. It's an air conditioner. Helping me to stay cool.
Low-tech AC. Go ahead and turn it back on, Debbie. It's okay.
Are yeah, you, sure? you can see mine up there.
Because I want to hear you. Yeah. I'm not a good reader.
Okay, it is 6:02. I'll give them another minute or two.
Okay.
Nancy, did you have a chance to read through that PSRC report?
I did not. I have been babysitting, and then just we had a phone call with Matt Adams about an hour ago, which I can talk about. I guess I need to modify this agenda here. Have you read through it, Deb?
Yeah, I didn't read it in depth or in great detail, but I noticed the dismissals of everything.
Well, it seemed to me they were trying to compete with the Siting Commission. Although they didn't have conclusions or anything, but And they don't source the data at all, which is frustrating to me. But at least the way they displayed the data, you're left to believe that pain field is the only alternative, and
the Tacoma Narrows.
Oh, Tacoma Narrows is a teeny tiny little.
I know. I drive by it all the time. It's
It's not.
There would have to be a major amount of development to happen before it would be usable.
No, it's not as big as Renton. It's smaller than Renton.
Okay, guys, yeah. Why don't we go ahead and get started? I am noting the presence of Lori, Debbie, Sharon, Larry, Council Member Sophia Aragon, Javier, myself, and it looks like we have three attendees, Dave Kaplan, JC Harris, and Sheila Brush, who are also listening in. So I'm gonna call the airport committee meeting to order at 6:04 p.m. And the first item on our agenda is approved draft minutes. Do I have?
I move to approve the minutes.
Second.
And in terms of discussion, I should point out that there were several things in these minutes that I said I would do that I didn't do in the time frame that we had said we were going to do them. Ah, Nakaya, welcome.
Happy Taco Tuesday,
so we just
everyone.
Got started. Same to you. We're reviewing the minutes from our last meeting. So we've had a motion and a second. Any further discussion on the minutes? All right, if not, all those in favor, raise your hand. Opposed? Abstain? Okay, Nakaya abstains. Lori, I don't know if you, Lori, are you watching all this?
I am. Okay. Do you want me to pull up the agenda on the share screen or?
You can if you want. The only issue with doing that is then we can't see each other as well, at least on the way I have it set up. So I think everybody has the agenda and we're going to change it anyway.
Okay.
So, and I may have trouble with my internet. I have an unstable internet connection. So my apologies if, and I also have a computer here that has an angle to it that makes me crazy. This iPad. I don't know if you have this trouble, Sophia, with your iPad, but it's like, I want the screen to be full on and not angled under my nose. Sorry, guys. So the agenda was to have Walt do a discussion on flight patterns. After I talked to Walt, after I went through his presentation and his letter, realized it was probably going to take a little while to explain what the issue is and the technical details. And when I reached out to him, he said he didn't plan to do it, that he was going to ask Larry to do it. When I talked to Larry today, I also realized that PSRC was doing a discussion at the executive board on Thursday on the regional aviation capacity, and I thought it might be worth us taking a look at it. And that, coupled with the other things on our agenda, made me think, and Larry saying he would be better prepared at a future meeting to talk about the Walt's issues of the runway separation, it just made sense to me to maybe put that off until our next meeting. So I hope everybody's okay with that in terms of an agenda change.
We'll take it hopefully front and center at the August meeting, Nancy.
Okay. And the August meeting, so I do want to have a discussion probably at the end. Many, many August meetings are being canceled. Now, we are a very dedicated committee, so I understand if we want to continue to meet in August, but let's talk, we can talk about that at the end. Because I think it's not for lack of work to be done, that, but people like to take August off. So we can talk about that at the end, what time, when our next meeting is. Thanks, Larry. Okay. So the first topic is to continue discussion on START re-engagement. And I did share with you all a draft presentation, or a PowerPoint draft with some sort of background and options in it. Do you all have it? Can you all sort of pull it up? Is that, am I getting nods, or am I getting?
Yeah, I got it.
Have access to it.
You don't have access to it, Sharon?
Well, when I leave Link, sometimes I have trouble getting back in.
Okay, so we can pull it up.
Yeah.
Lori, do you want to pull it up? Do you want me to pull it up?
I can give it a try.
Okay. I thought it would just be helpful to recap for all committee members, sort of my version of, you know, where, how we landed where we are and what some of our options might be moving forward.
I think it's important, Nancy, to add into this the concessions that the, from the meeting with the city managers and Lance Little, the concessions that they were willing to make, and weigh those out, because there's some problems with some of the concessions that they've made that I, going back, would not allow the freedom that we had hoped to achieve.
I think that's a really good idea, Debbie. And I was going to try to find in my notes, which maybe it was our January meeting when we reviewed that. That is included, not the details, but the option is included. A recognition of their conditions is one of those options. But at the time when I did this last night, I did not have that document in front of me. So I'm, and Brian, maybe you can tell me when we talked about that. I think we talked about it at the January meeting.
I can see it.
Yeah, I have it. I have it here. Okay, I have it here. The detailed responses.
I just found it.
Okay.
I just found it. You got it then?
No. What are you showing, Dip? Lori? Yeah, that's what it is. Now, actually, what I'm finding here. Okay. Thanks, Lori, for pulling this up. So if you can just move your way through the slides, history. And I'll let you just read this. So I'll synopsize it. And if people have a difference of opinion, you know, you can tell us why we left START. But I think the precipitating factor was the decision with almost no notice to the communities to spend $10 million on the design work for the SAMP prior to any completion or discussion of the environmental review, even though the port knew that we do have significant concerns about what's going to happen with SAMP. So that was a trust thing that simply built on other trust things that the environment of START felt like our representatives felt like they were being used, that their views weren't being reflected in the notes, that consensus that the port said had been reached in certain situations with their products wasn't felt by the community reps to be a consensus. A number of things that led folks to feel that START was not an honest forum to have real conversations. And then with Larry and Terry and I think representatives in other communities like Sheila and then Debbie, I mean, people who had been attending meetings, just feeling like this wasn't a place where they were really being heard and that the views and the concerns of communities were adequately being addressed. No one denies that there was information being shared, but there was a frustration that things weren't just honest and worthwhile. Next slide, Lori. And stop me here if I'm, you know, misstating something or you want to add something. I pulled this, I was doing some digging on other things yesterday, and David Goble, who is on Vashon and knowledgeable about flight paths and had been attending START meetings, I found this on his blog. Now I realize this is from 2018 and not, you know, whatever happened earlier in 2019 before we withdrew from START. But I thought this was interesting perspective. And I think some of this frustration came when the FAA came to a meeting. I was at the meeting, they gave an overview, and then when it became time to answer questions, they had to catch a plane and they walked out of the room. And it was that sort of interaction that I think just made people feel like this wasn't a real dialogue. So anyway, there were a number of reasons for why we left START. Next slide, Lori. So as I understand the current situation, the city of Des Moines has decided to rejoin START, and there are three conditions that they put out there, and I may not have this quite right, but that the cities would have input into the agenda, and some of these were reflective of the conditions that Lance agreed to in the 13 questions that were asked. And I didn't go into detail about the 13 questions, and you're right, Deb. I mean, those, we need to look at those conditions and say, which of these do we not agree with? That agendas would be released 10 days ahead of the meetings. And then they also agreed that they would re-examine their participation in early 2021, just to see if it was worthwhile. I understand, and I know we have two people on the call who are knowledgeable about Des Moines, and Lori, I don't have an issue of, I don't have an issue with allowing them to speak here if you can give them that option to correct anything that I may be misstating about Des Moines. But I know that they did not appoint anyone, and that the two individuals, Steve Edmondson and Sheila Brush, both submitted their resignation and their lack of their unwillingness to continue to participate and START. What I have heard is that the intent is that Michael Matthias, the city manager, will be the START representative.
Okay, what I heard from Sheila was that they were not going to be reappointed to START. So Michael Matthias had made the decision that they would not be going back to START. I don't know that they are unwilling. I wouldn't characterize it that way. They resigned from the Des Moines Airport Committee, but they did not officially resign from START. They withdrew the city.
Thanks, Deb. That's a good correction.
They're not going to be reappointed.
And this is Sheila. I can just jump in really quick. Our term expired December 31st, 2019. And so we resigned from the airport committee, but our term on START was already over. And I was personally told that I would not be going back to represent the city. So I do not think Michael's decision to be the only person on START for the city of Des Moines had anything to do with Steve and I. I think that was an independent decision. And thank you for letting me talk.
Okay, thanks, Sheila. It's good to be clear on all of this. I don't want to spread any misinformation here. Bill Vedino, I've had an interaction with Jim Farrell, and I know Brian had an interaction with Jim Farrell. who has indicated a willingness to, they have not made a decision and they are watching what Burien's doing. So that's where we are. I added here two recent issues that have come to light that have given me pause and concern. One is in reaching out to Justin, and again, I have never heard his last name pronounced, so I don't know how to pronounce it, Bisau, the FAA ombudsperson. I reached out to our federal representatives. I was talking to staff in Lindell in Adam Smith's office and was told that in order to communicate with Justin that it needed to be done through our federal office, our federal reps. So she reached out, or had Amanda reach out, I don't know exactly who did it, to the FAA, and the response back, you all saw that, I emailed that to you. It said that respectfully decline our invitation, and that the appropriate forum for talking to the FAA was through START. So the frustrating thing in that, obviously, is that is not what the FAA reauthorization says. It says that the FAA will work with the communities and the public. It does not say this will all be done through the port. So that is was of concern that our access to some of the federal agencies was limited because of, in some ways, the existence of START. Whatever manipulation is going on behind the scenes between the FAA and the port. So there's frustration there. And then secondly, the next gen conversation, which we'll have here in a minute, of who, given, and thank you for your work on this, Sheila, given that SeaTac will be one of the metroplexes, not exactly, but studied as part of the GAO study, and that we have the opportunity to designate a couple of folks to interact with the GAO. I am hoping, I'm familiar with the GAO. I have participated in the past in studies done by the GAO and have friends who have worked for the GAO. I know what kind of work they do. I am hoping that their willingness to talk to communities is more than just having one Zoom meeting and having a couple of individuals from our community participate in it. I'm hoping that it's going to go beyond that. But rather than having that inquiry from GAO, apparently this now has also been subsumed in START. And so the conversation will happen. Now, we weren't asked by GAO for our representatives. We were asked by the port for our representatives, which again is not the way this study is supposed to be done. It's not supposed to be our voices filtered through the port. It is intended for the GAO. I see that Dave Kaplan has his hand raised. Lori, if you want to give Dave the opportunity to speak, I'm willing to hear his perspective here.
He should be able to speak.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. The communication was the GAO actually asked the port for community members to reach out to, and we sent an email to the city managers asking the cities to identify people to have the conversation with the GAO. It wasn't being filtered through the port at all. If that was not communicated clearly, then that's on us. But that was not the intent. The GAO wanted to reach out to the community, and the city managers and mayors were for Federal Way and Tukwila received the communication, letting them know that the GAO wanted to talk to representatives from their community, from your communities. So
Dave,
that was never the intent to have it go through START, and it's not even directed that it go through START. So I don't know where that came from, but I just wanted to clear up that misperception.
Well, thank you for that clarification. I think what would be useful would be for us to be given the names of the folks in GAO. I think the names were in the email, but can we communicate with them directly and indicate, you know, our desire to have representation and who that might be?
Yeah, you should be able to reach out directly to them.
Okay. Well, it would be helpful to sort of have, there were three names, as I recall, in the email and no email addresses. So to sort of let us know who we can contact at the GAO to tell them who our representatives are. Okay. So next slide, Lori. Looks like Jimmy has joined us. Welcome. And I see another attendee, Ann Croker. Nobody disagrees that START, I don't think anyone disagrees, that START has been a forum where, you know, the representatives that have been brought to the table between the port and the FAA and the airlines and the communities are a reasonable cross-section of people and representatives who should be talking to each other. And if the intent really was to have honest conversations, we pretty much have the right people in the room. Although I know there's been some debate about community representatives speaking on behalf of their cities and their electeds. So there's a little bit of a, sometimes a disconnect there. But some of the concerns are that the port filters the concerns that are raised by the community to with outcomes that aren't necessarily responsive to the concerns being raised. And so it doesn't feel like communities have a voice in what's actually going on and what the real issues are. It's a very measured conversation, controlled by the facilitator and the port. I think, you know, the question is how do we have a forum where real issues are discussed in depth with solutions that represent the needs of the communities are heard and given equal weight to the desires of the port for further development at SeaTac. I mean, that's kind of the bottom line. So given all that, seems like we have, I came up with four options. There may be more. So the next slide, Lori. One would be to return to START, accept the answers to the questions that Lance Little gave us, and just say, nope, sorry, we're back. We think it's worthwhile and we want to be at the table. So that's one option, basically to cave and go back. Number two is what Des Moines asked for, which is sort of minimal conditions. We'll want input on the agenda. We want the agenda far enough ahead of time, and we do want to reevaluate whether we're going to stay at the table based on, you know, how things go, probably addressing some of the other answers in those 13 questions. Number three is that we come up with additional conditions that would make it feel like it was worth our while to be back at the table. So we do return to START, but we say, you know, and this, Debbie, gets at what you said earlier, that, you know, we asked 13 questions, you gave us satisfactory responses to whatever the number is, nine of them, but we really would like to push this other issue, and we have some other suggestions. And then the fourth option would be, let's not go back to START. And there's implications with all of these. So, and I just want to note that going back to START means that we have to identify appropriate and willing community members to participate. I mean, that's, you know, part of the condition. So that's would be something we'd have to figure out. And I have some thoughts on that. But so the next slide is, again, off the top of my head, and I think all of you could elaborate more on this, but here are those four options and some pros and cons on them. So one is we return to start and we accept the whatever 9 out of 13 conditions. And so it's the path of least resistance, obviously. I mean, you just go back and say, you know, we had time to cool off and we think this is worthwhile. And so we're here. The con with that is, you know, nothing's changed. We don't have any indication or guarantee that this is going to be helpful to us. Now you're doing, and so we may continue to feel like we're being used. Number two, if we return to start with the same conditions as Des Moines, you know, it's support for a sister city, it's relatively easy path. The con is, you know, limited leverage and still no voice for our community. One of the pros I should have put in here is, you know, a chance to say this is a trial return. We're coming back now, but if things don't change, we're going to look at this again in January or February and, you know, decide it's not worth our while. So that could be another pro there, that it does provide some leverage to say, you know, we're back, but it's tentative. Number three, return to start with additional conditions. So this gave me an opportunity to sort of think about, well, what is it we want and what might those conditions be? And so it's an opportunity for us to talk through this, and the next slide will show some of this in a minute. And Federal Way, you know, hopefully Federal Way is going to look at this and they're going to decide what path they want to take. They may decide to follow Des Moines. And we may throw out some of these conditions and the port may say, no way, we don't, you know, we don't have any interest in meeting those conditions. And so we don't need you back at the table. So that's, you know, a risk that we would take. Not returning to start. So I do feel like we need some forum where we as communities with some of the airlines who are not totally on board with what's going on at the port, some other communities such as Beacon Hill, some of the other neighborhoods where we know that there are concerns, but they don't have a seat at the table. You know, we've talked about a coalition of electeds of some other forum. So if we didn't return to start, but we wanted some opportunity to have a conversation, we'd have to create something. So the not returning to start, the pro would be, you know, we don't spend a lot of time in meetings with little return, that we just continue to, you know, bat a ping pong ball down the highway, you know, with little impact. And the cons, though, if we do want a forum, is it would take a lot of work to establish another forum. And so that's an issue. So some ideas I had on other possible conditions for us returning is to add, request, indicate we would like to have a co-chair of START. So Lance leads this. We would like a community co-chair. So this would be someone selected by the communities, all of us who are around the table, who would represent our interest, participate in all the planning with the facilitator on the board and drafting the agenda, and would also lead, and this happens under the umbrella of the Sound Cities Association, where we have multiple cities appointed to committees, and there's a caucus of those cities before any of these regional committee meetings, and those, you know, cities then get together to say, well, what's our point of view? You know, what are we pro, what are we con? And then that helps in the discussion to have created some alignment of interests when the meetings actually take place. So there would be a stronger caucus of community of our cities. The second one here is that caucus and that point of view could be reflected when there are recommendations or findings that come out of START. If the communities disagree with, you know, where it's headed or what the end result is, that we could express that we could say, now this is, you know, the board is recommending this, and I'll just use an example that's not a good one, but, you know, voluntary nighttime, well, that's not enough. You know, so as a caucus of communities, it's, we have to find a way to stop nighttime flights, reduce the number of them, whatever it is. And it can't just be, you know, we are going along with this voluntary sort of slap on the wrist, public humiliation, whatever, you know, the current program represents. There may be other conditions, and one other, so record the meetings. There's mixed feelings on this, and I know, you know, we can talk about these. One other condition that I didn't put on here is that the representation, what we would like to see is, rather than two community members and the city manager, that we would like to see a community member, an elected, and the city manager, that they would be the three representatives of each city. So that would be a slightly different configuration, but it would create a different venue for having input and potential opportunity to work, you know, with the jurisdictions in a different way. So, sorry, that took a long time. I went through, yes, tried to give some background. So comments, discussion on this?
So I have some items to bring up.
And I can't see anybody when you're sharing the slides. So maybe, Lori, can you take the slides down? Thank you.
This is Debbie. I have some comments. Can you hear me?
Yeah, go for it, Deb.
Okay. So in the memo that Brian sent out on the results of the negotiations with Lance Little, one of the things that they agreed to, well, they somewhat agreed to both conditions that Des Moines talks about. The reviewing their participation in START is not really a condition. They can leave whenever they want, I'm sure. But the two that they wanted was input on a facilitator and a co-equal agenda setting. So the input on the facilitator is allowed by consensus of the START committee. The agenda setting item, however, is by a steering committee. I don't know what this steering committee is. This is another way for them to grab back control again by stocking the steering committee with industry interest against the community. So it's not really, it depends on what the steering committee is, if co-equal agenda setting is really true. I would say that that would be a condition that would have to be redone based on consensus of the START committee. And you can't really have that if you don't have people on the START committee to create a balanced consensus on this item. So, you know, it would have to go back in. And the other thing that I think is critical to this is that each community has experts that are experts in different areas that are applicable sometimes, regularly, all the time, or rarely to the START committee discussions. So I was thinking of Sheila and her well-rounded wealth of information, David Goebel's very focused expertise on the PBN, Maria and her community outreach and the environmental justice issue, and somewhat with some of us, and Anne with her background in climate change. It just seems to me that when city managers are appointing people, they may not be thinking of the best interests of the community voice on issues that are critical to the discussion table. So there's no reason at all why Sheila should not be chosen to represent citizens at the START committee. And there's no reason why David shouldn't be, but his community isn't even included. That those are things that would have to be negotiated out as well. I mean, we've got some concession on some things, but we don't have clear concession on critical things to go back, in my view.
Sorry, Deb, I got distracted by a four-year-old there for a second. So I didn't hear the very end of what you just said. And I
think there's items that still need to be negotiated. We don't know what the steering committee is. I'm opposed to it. I'm opposed back at going back at co-equal agenda setting based on a steering committee for which we know nothing
okay.
about.
Okay, I did
I'm
hear
also,
that.
I'm also very much in favor of having the best representatives of citizen voices in a variety of areas of expertise be put back onto the committee. And I don't know how that gets accomplished, but right.
Okay, thanks. Brian, you have your hand up.
Thank you. I just wanted to add some clarification to the steering committee. In terms of what was discussed in terms of that committee and what its purpose would be. My understanding is that a steering committee was suggested in order to, and it would be selected from the START representatives within START. And there were several purposes for that. One was to have a review of notes and minutes prior to having those published to ensure the integrity of what's discussed and what and the agendas. There was some discussion about how that could be, that steering committee could be utilized to help set the agenda so that it, and that was to have a balance, you know, with it isn't just a board agenda, but it would be a steering committee of the representatives, you know, from the representatives of those cities. And lastly, you know, I think the board has been consistent in their discussion that representatives for individual cities are the choice of the cities themselves. So, and that criteria is still in place. So Des Moines has the ability to, you know, make decisions about who their representatives are, as does Burien, to make decisions about who our representative would be.
Thanks, Brian. Other comments, perspectives?
I only have one comment. It has to do with your reference to reducing the number of flights. And there's only one process that I'm aware of that can be accomplished, and it's called the Part 161. Otherwise, airports aren't authorized to even discuss it unless there is a formal process and it gets initiated by request from the surrounding communities in some form or another, resolutions or through START or some other mechanism, but it can't occur otherwise. It's against federal law for it to occur. So the idea that we could just sit down and talk either at a START meeting or with Port unofficially about how they're going to reduce flights is not even a legal conversation according to federal statutes. And the only way to change that is to change Congress or for Congress to enact a change in statute.
So one option, Sharon, is to have START have that conversation that says, because of the impact on the surrounding communities, we do have to work through Congress, and that START, that the port would work with the communities to try to push for that change. I mean, that to me is kind of, anyway, I hear you, but I feel like we can't ever even have
Part 161. Any other conversation about that, it has to follow a particular series of criteria, and certain issues have to be addressed in a certain sequence. So they won't even engage in that conversation unless they've agreed to do a Part 161.
Okay. Other comments, observations? I'd like to hear from all the committee members. I mean, we've been mushing on this for a long time. So,
My position still kind of stands, Nancy, as a START member, and I agreed and went before the council to petition to be a START member based on the fact that I felt that I had the ability to at least have honest conversations with the FAA. And it was primarily for that reason that I wanted to be at the table. If that was truly a possibility now that we're being told that the ombudsman person at the START meetings would be our conduit to have any kind of meaningful conversations with the FAA, I have serious doubts that that would ever take place. So I serve at the, before the council, and I don't know whether I want to waste my time and we have three council members, yourself included, and Mayor Mata, and Sophia, if you guys have a pulse on whether you feel like, we have to be back at the table to have these discussions, then I don't know what the answer is. I would like to be able to talk with the FAA, but we have no conduit to do that. And I sincerely doubt that START will answer the questions that we have for them.
Mm-hmm. All right, thank you.
Have such an impact on our city.
You all are the most experienced and most insightful on airport issues, and we've been hassling these things for 3 years now, almost four years now. And I think, we can make a recommendation to the city council. As you said, there's three of us here, but the council will ultimately decide. But I think the recommendation of this committee carries some weight. My suggestion would be, if we decide to go back, that we designate folks from this committee and make that recommendation to council, that there are individuals on this committee who should be the representatives to START. Because I think, I don't know of others in our community who have as much knowledge as you all do. But anyway.
Nancy, I believe that if we're going to choose to go back as a city, and we're going to allow cities to have their own consultants to come in and ask questions, my scope of knowledge is rather narrow, and I don't need to be a START member, but it could be participant on the outside as a consultant, along with the other expertise that we possess. And your suggestion in, having different people sit at the table, I think you should vet that out. And I can support that fully.
All right.
If the council chooses that they think they need to be back at the table. And Mayor Mata, sitting right here, can tell us what his gut's telling him. Do we, the old saying, keep your friends close, your enemies closer.
So Javier has his hand up, and I'll go to Javier, and then I'd like to hear from Mayor Mata and Councilmember Aragon and Nakaya. We haven't heard from each of them, so Javier, thanks.
In my mind, the minimum condition to go back to START would be that the meetings are recorded. I think it's the only way to ensure that there's a respectful and meaningful conversation with the FAA and with the other participants of START. It seems to me that if Burian were to go back to START without that, there's nothing to assure that, that the FAA would answer questions that are asked of them, and I think there's no reason to assume that this steering committee would raise the questions that the community once raised. So I think having recorded meetings would be that minimum condition. And if they are, if they accept that, then I think it would be reasonable to go back to start. But without that, I don't think it would be, I think it would be a waste of time.
Okay. Jimmy, you have thoughts on this?
I have many thoughts on it. You know, I think that when we originally had the conversation, we had said that we were going to come together as cities and be able to have a unified message. And I think that what happens is that we haven't really stepped up and really, you know, I felt that there was still time to negotiate and there was still things to negotiate with city managers. But I think we settled for too long, and I think things got cold, and I think that Des Moines decided to go back, and now, you know, they've learned how to pit each city against each city. And unfortunately, that's what it is. I mean, I think that, and I said this early on, I said, let's send the city manager back. Let's go back to the 13 points and let's continue to negotiate. It just never happened. And so where am I at? Well, I still think that elected officials are responsible to our communities. All the port commissioners are elected. They're elected by the people, for the people. I also think that, you know, we haven't had the ability to use who we have in our community. We have 42% minorities in this community, meaning that we have Black, Latinos, and we have children that play. And I don't think we've been able to really talk about that. Like, what is economic development look like? And then what is economic justice look like? What is environmental justice look like? I think it's all tied together. And I think that the elected officials have a responsibility. Just like I have a responsibility with my community, I think they have a responsibility to come back and have that conversation with us. It's not all about, you know, look, our city manager, he's always been really respectful to the direction of the council. We set the direction for our city manager. We set the direction as elected officials for the city. Just like the port commissioner should be setting the direction for the people that represent the port. You know, I've been in a situation where, you know, I just ignored the port. I don't participate in any of their meetings. I don't participate in anything because I said, well, I can't have it both ways. I can't have my airport committee in Burien upset at the airport and then come back on the other side and say, hey, airport, I need some money. I need some money for our minority community. I need some money for environmental justice. It just doesn't make sense to me. And I think I've been very open and transparent on how I feel about this whole situation. I think we still need to organize. I think we still need to be a voice. I still think we need to push hard. I still think that we need to make sure that our citizens are being educated, that other community members are being educated, that other cities are being educated, that our port commissioner are being educated, and that we also go back and we talk to El Centro de la Raza, Consejo, CIMAR, Para los Niños, that this airport is really impactful. Now, I just got my office. I'm right underneath the flight deck. And the life of me, I don't know how people can live underneath the flight path. I mean, I have to pause to have a conversation. And it saddens me to see that. Now, I'm happy that the state legislators and the House representatives have stepped up and they fought really hard. And we're going to have a package for people to be able to go back and be able to fix their windows, fix their insulation. Look, I don't think we're ever going to be able to get rid of it. But I know that it's always going to be Big Brother that we're going to have to regulate. And we have to tell them, we're not scared of you. Like, if you want to get down and, you know, we want to get into a fight, we will. But I think at the end of the day, we have to figure out where we can work with them. And, you know, when we disagree, I think we need to be forceful about it. Like, you know, for me, I don't think I see it whether this was a loss or a win. I think it's sending the message to the port that if we are going to participate back on START, we still have the conditions. We're still not satisfied. The 9 points that they came to an agreement with, we're okay with, but we're still concerned about the 13, and we're going to continue to organize around the other ones. Now, I still think that there's still room for negotiations. I think it's still time to go out and talk to, you know, our city manager, talk to the rest of the city managers. Because I do think that we have different jobs. The city manager and us as elected officials, we don't have all the nuts and bolts every day. Our job is to make sure that when we see something, we ask the questions, that we get the community on board, that we take people like yourselves on this committee who are very knowledgeable to make sure that I'm able to ask the same question. Be quite honest, I was really excited about what we were doing at the airport committee. But I've disengaged, very quite honest. And at this point, I'm waiting for you all's direction. I'll listen. And at this point, I just don't know what we've gotten to accomplish, because I feel like we lost it somewhere. And that's my true opinion, my true belief. And, you know, I know that I've had a good talking relationship with Larry and with Sharon and even Councilman Tostanai. We you know, we've been flustered with each other because we may not agree with everything, but you know, I feel like it's just this it's not disjointed, and I can't tell you why, but that's how I truly feel about it. I do believe that, you know, as soon as we figure out what we're doing, then I know where I stand with the port. I can tell the commissioners, this is where my community stands. We're not happy about it. We're going to continue to work forward. Or you know what? My community members don't want to work with it. My elected officials don't want to be involved in this until we have these things, and we're going to continue to fight. And we'll continue to use King 5. We'll continue to use Seattle Times. We'll continue to go back and educate our Black and Latino and Asian community how screwed we are by the side effects of the airport. So that's all I have. Sorry, I just feel real about this, right? And I just wanted to give you my honest opinion and my honest feelings about this. Thank you.
Just to respond a bit, Jimmy, because I did, I have reached out elected to elected, which was one of the tasks I had. But Brian was reaching out to city managers, and I spoke to electeds in Des Moines, reached out to three or four of them, had good conversations. Their decision was based on some other criteria. They chose not to look to having an alignment with Burien. There was some other underlying motivation that dictated by some port dynamics. Federal Way, on the other hand, I think has expressed an interest in continuing to figure out how we work together as two communities, but it's not for lack of trying. There's been some significant effort and conversations on those fronts. So it's, people have different agendas, it's sort of bottom line, and that's kind of the reality. Nakaya, thoughts on this?
I thought I heard two others in the order before I was, no?
Well, Sophia, but go for it.
Honestly, I think Mayor Mata read my notes, so I don't have too much to say. I feel like this is a very polar experience for me in terms of being an African-American female who not only works in STEM, but has had an experience, extensive experience, professional experience in environmental justice. This is the first environmental committee I've ever been a part of that didn't, what I see is a transparent, inclusive process overall, not when it comes to START, just in general of the communications. I do understand that residents can request information under the Freedom of Information Act, but we all know that that also takes a level of knowledge and skill, and not that I don't respect skill as someone, hey, who's peer-reviewed, published in the Journal of STEM Education, you know, I understand the importance of science. But on the same token, how do we make that real for what Mayor Mata has addressed on what our residents are going through? You know, the Burien blog has talked about what the city is facing and what our residents are experiencing. And it's not that residents are ill-equipped to know, but can they carry the burden to care under oppression right now? As we can see, we still have racial protests. We still have, you know, businesses losing jobs. And we're thankful for our local press and media that promotes what citizens are doing in the community. But very much like Mayor Mata said, he spoke about his office being under the flight path. I live near the flight path. I work in STEM. I've had several people and my colleagues at UW say, wow, why do you stay out there? And, you know, it's so far. But the reality is that I like when I walk to the store or when my Black and brown friends come by, you know, we feel safe when we're walking, you know, to the store. And not to say that Burien is 100% exempt from systemic racism or, you know, the threats of police brutality, but at the same time, these things shape on how citizens can make decisions about science and airport planning and what affects them. And so my question is to figure out, what does this look like twofold? We can't ask for something we don't implement on ourselves. We can't hold FAA accountable if we don't make more inclusive practices to make agendas in other languages or other things. And so I got to thinking, my only recommendation, I was told in doctorate school, you don't put, you know, a bus driver in the kitchen, not to say that people can't be interdisciplinary, but maybe we check out our own City of Burien Community Engagement Office and see what are the best tactics to connect and communicate and inform residents to be a part of what a larger conversation is. Science is amazing, and again, data is great, but without the voices of the people to carry it forward, and not the ones that are best at articulating it, but the ones truly tied to this community and invested, and maybe needing to learn a new, or wanting to learn a new skill on how to articulate how they feel about the grievances of the airport. They may not know the sciences of the FAA or the other acronyms mentioned in our reports or agenda, but they know what it feels like to have to close your window when you're spending time with your family, or to think about the smog and how their children work, live, and play, or even our elderly citizens. So just thinking about how we can do that. So I very much agree with Mayor Mata. I've decided to abstain from voting until we can understand how, in all of our facets of decision-making, communication, how is this transparent, open, and inclusive for everyone to participate? Not those who have the knowledge, not those who can speak the language, but those who can feel what it's like to live in Burien and being impacted by environmental injustice in the airport. Thank you.
Thanks, Nakia. Sophia?
Well, I think listening to folks, this has been a really hard time to organize for anything because of COVID-19. We're just, stuck at home. There's just other things that are in the forefront of people's minds. But it also, I think one benefit is, you know, perhaps it makes me think about, you know, who are people that are most readily in reach. I think when I first joined this committee, I knew there was a need to do more organizing to affected communities, particularly diverse communities. And there is that issue about the impact of health due to airport operations. And so maybe at the City of Burien, you know, what are the opportunities to sort of cross-pollinate with other community members? And I don't know if the Health and Human Services Subcommittee of the City of Burien has ever had a briefing on the health aspects of airport operations, or perhaps even what this committee has done in the past. It'll help elevate that, at least with a group of residents who are already engaged in advising the committee. And I know that Debbie listed a number of other people who are experts in airport impacts, and Debbie said that they were, you know, they had some specialized knowledge, and I think some of them had, they're also connected to diverse communities and were included at some point. It'd be an interesting question about, so how are they engaged in this community now? So I think we just have to be really creative about how we reach out to our networks, because it's just been dampened. But I agree with this notion of, you know, how do we organize larger communities to help us build the energy towards this effort. But it does need to start with understanding. I mean, there's a lot of technicalities. There is a special language around this, and that needs to be addressed first. Otherwise, I don't think people will quite grasp the importance of what you all are doing.
So I want, does anyone else have anything they want to add to this conversation? So we are about to make a decision as to whether we should rejoin START. That is the topic. And I hear what several of you are saying, which I think is a lot of broader issues, but we've been asked to consider whether we want to go back to a committee that the port has established. So I realize that sounds incredibly narrow compared to the outreach and communication, but it's the decision that's facing us. And we can decide to do that with a number of other conditions. And we can talk about what our airport committee does differently in terms of, you know, our airport committee makes recommendations to the city council, and maybe there needs to be outreach in very different ways. But I do want to come back and focus it on trying to make this decision on START, because it's been hanging over our heads for too long now. So are there other folks, Jimmy, you raised your hand. Do you have something else you want to add here, specifically around this vote that I think we need to take on whether to rejoin START, and if we're rejoining, under what conditions? You're on mute, Jimmy.
I think that it's still too early to say. You know, I'd like to make a motion to table this decision for one more month until our next airport committee meeting.
Is there a second on that motion? Larry, I think you opened your mouth, but I didn't hear you.
I would second Jimmy's. I'm not ready to vote just yet on that. I think I'd like to even have some offline discussions with Mayor Mata and Nakia, Sophia. I'd like to wait until August, if we're going to have an August meeting, to have a vote on that.
Okay, so
Nancy, Sheila had a comment.
I don't see her hand raised, but
I think she had it raised a minute ago, I think.
Sheila, do you have a comment to make? I don't know if she can speak. Lori, can she speak? Can I make her speak?
No, I'm sorry, I don't have a comment to make.
Thank you. So if we do delay this decision, I guess personally, so as part of this discussion.
Can I speak on the motion? I made the motion, there was a second. I'd like to speak on the motion. Chair?
Yes.
So I do believe it's this, being part of START, I think it does encompass environmental justice. I think it encompasses, let's be completely honest. I mean, I know the port representatives here, they got someone on board whose job is to go out and talk to people of color in the minority community. So my question is, how much money is being put, what organizations are getting money for nonprofits to be able to do this work? What is the mission and what is the purpose? Because to me, the mission and the purpose should be is to educate people around STEM. And the reason I say STEM is because my daughter is in Razorback Aviation. My son graduated from Razorback Aviation. So it's not like I'm against the aviation world. But to me, we have 30 days to be able to come back and make a decision. I think that at this point, it's not still clear whether we're continuing to be okay with the 9 points. In fact, when I heard the conversation today, it was, well, we can either go back and say we didn't win anything, but you know, at the end of the day, if we're not happy with it, there's no reason for us to go back. Look, Des Moines can go back. I respect that mayor. I respect the mayor of Federal Way. But at the end of the day, this is the Burien Airport Committee. It's about Burien, and it's about the flight path. And it's about the noise mitigation that we have next to Burien. And so to me, START, the Highline Forum, there's some responsibilities there. I'd like to invite some of the commissioners to come and talk to us about START, some of the other points of the 13 points that the port executive, okay, who's appointed and hired by the port commissioners, why is it a problem? You know, we had our representative, which is our city manager, to go negotiate for him. Last time I heard from the city manager, there was still more room to negotiate. I don't know if we're still room to negotiate, but then I think at this point, then I'd like to invite the commissioners. I think we go through every commissioner and figure out where they stand. They look, just like I have the responsibility and any elected official has the responsibility to respond back to the Burien residents, so do these port commissioners. And so I'd like to hear from them. I mean, what's your justification? You know, because I have to justify that for Larry. I have to justify that for Sharon. I have to justify that for Harvey and everybody that's on the committee on the reason why we're going back with only going back with 9 points and having community members and members of this commission or this committee upset of not getting all 13 points, right? So I just believe that we postpone it. There's no reason for us to have to move on this rapidly. And letting the court know, we're still serious about this. Look, we're not going to get pushed. We're not going to be bought. I know that there's already other political motives. And you know what? I'm concerned myself. We could be punished by what we're doing today and not receive any funding from the port commissioners and from the port. And that would be devastating for Burien. We already have a $3.2 million deficit, a 12% deficit. And yet we haven't had the port stand up. They're supposed to be doing economic development for Burien and all the South End cities because of the airport impacts. So what does that look like? You know, and so to me, I think that we have time still to be able to postpone this until the next meeting. I haven't had a chance to talk to Larry because of COVID or Sharon one-on-one or even Nakaya, who has just come on board. I mean, there's a lot of things that I've heard from Nakaya and her background educationally and, her background on wanting to learn from her what she's seen in other cities. And in closing, you know, Southgate, who I had the opportunity to go visit the mayor of Southgate and the deputy mayor before the fuel was dumped in her community. And, you know, they have some things they've been also battling the airport and the FAA. And to me, it's like, you know, why can't we invite people from, you know, we're doing everything on Zoom now. Why can't we invite other airport committees who are surrounded by the airport to figure out what they're doing? I know Nakaya has some, you know, deep-rooted connections throughout the country. But to me, I just think it's too fast. It's too soon, and I'd like to, that's why I made my motion to postpone until the next meeting. Thank you.
In my opinion, and I don't know Larry second it, but in saying what Mayor Mata had to say is even also looking at tabling it just to see if, you know, what avenues we can use to open the discussion up on how Burien sees themselves in being representatives. Represented, because the one part that I do like about Washington is that it has that ability to set trends policy-wide, procedure-wide, best practices-wise. And I think, and when we spoke about the letter before when I was working with Sharon and Debbie, you know, the opportunity to look at and widen that scope now that we have people's ear. So while I do agree to table it, my hope would be that there would be some type of action in which that it was not only holding the port commissioners accountable, but perhaps, you know, a virtual town hall or some conversation where we hear a larger audience of what that means, or what if today, you know, someone decides today is the day I want to do something about, you know, the airport in my backyard. You know, do we have that? Do we have, you know, what's in place to make that conversation and those policies inclusive enough to do that?
So I'd like to weigh in here. If we do decide to delay, and I just want to point out that there's been some pressure from members of this committee to make this decision. So that's why, you know, it's out there that we you know, are we dithering by delaying. But if we are going to delay it another month, I guess I would like some clear list of the tasks that individuals, and you've all mentioned them. Larry, you've said you're gonna talk to other members of the committee. Jimmy, you said you're gonna reach out to port commissioners. Nakaya, you said you wanna think about a town hall meeting. I mean, I guess I'd like to know what we would do between now and a month from now that would contribute to a better knowledge of the decision of whether we should return to START and how, if we do decide to return, how we do that. So I'd like some clarity on that. Jimmy.
So my question is, why is the push to go back to START? We delay it in August, we delay it in September, we delay it in January. They're still doing what they're gonna be doing. They got other cities that are participating. To me, you know, whether we have homework or whether we have tasks, to me, I just don't see the need to participate in START until we figure out as a city of Burien, what is it that we want to see Burien look like? For instance, to me, like I've just said, I mean, I'm not reaching out to the port commissioner. They haven't reached out to us. I mean, if it was any other way around, if I was a port commissioner, I'd want to reach out to the city of Burien and figure out what's it going to take, y'all, to get you guys back to be able to have a working relationship with you guys. Is it going to take, you know, a couple hundred thousand dollars? Is it going to take $1 million? I mean, what is it? Are you guys up for sale? Or, you know, and to me, you know, they haven't even had the respect to reach out and say, hey, airport committee, chairman, can I come and speak to your members? Other, you know, the other electeds, you know, it'd be nice to hear where, you know, why Des Moines decided to go. Maybe the city manager can, our city manager can reach out to that city manager and maybe give us some perspective on why Des Moines decided to go out on their own and rejoin. You know, I'd like to hear that perspective. And if it's economic, well, I can understand. I mean, you know, everybody's suffering financially. But to me, whether I reach out to Nakaya, I mean, I'm not reaching out to the port commissioners. The port commissioners know where we live. They know our situation. They know we're at a start. But I would like maybe a, you know, town hall where we can hear about, you know, I know that we have several people that are involved with airport issues and also with an organization that's well-respected, and we just, you know, I haven't heard too much going on there, but I'd like to hear, you know, from Larry as being also a chairman of an organization that I've respected, and that, like Nakaya said, I had to learn, okay, I had to learn all the definitions of what you all were talking about before I got elected. I remember Sheila would sit there and Debbie would sit there and talk about all this stuff, and I'm very happy and I'm very humbled that Sharon and Larry has taken the time to sit down with me and Sheila to, you know, and Debbie to understand what I'm really saying. And so to me, I don't know why there's such a need to get back to start. That's it.
Okay, I don't mean to push the need, but I just wanna, I do, Jimmy, I felt a pressure from you at a previous meeting to say, let's make this decision. So we should take a vote on this. JC Harris had his hand up. I don't know if JC, you wanted to say something about Des Moines and why they made the decision they did. Maybe there would be some helpful information there.
I reconsidered. So yeah, I really don't have anything to add other than I think that Michael, our city manager, feels that he has the situation well in hand. You know, and our council, they have complete confidence in whatever decisions that he makes. So that's it.
Thanks, JC. Other comments on this? So we have a motion on the table to suspend, put off our conversation for at least a month. Can I rephrase it that way, Jimmy, that because it may be, it's not, we won't be ready in August, but at least.
So my motion was that we postpone it to the next meeting to have this discussion. So that could be the next meeting or it could be two meetings from now. I mean, I think that that would be under your privy and your direction on when you want to put it back on the agenda.
Okay. Other discussion on this before we take a vote? I don't see any other hands. So let me ask all those in favor of delaying this, and we've just spent most of our meeting on this. We do have a couple of other topics, but delaying this until, postponing any decision on this until our next meeting. Raise your hand. All right, all those opposed? All right, I don't see any opposition here. So unanimous vote to postpone this discussion. Can I ask whether folks on the committee are willing to commit to thinking about bringing back additional information so that it can inform this. And Jimmy, I agree with you, having the port commissioners sort of absent in this, I mean, you know, in reaching out to us and saying, wow, what will it take to get you back to the table is a little bit disconcerting. They know we've been belaboring this. So it's frustrating. Maybe given we have a port representative on the call, that can be communicated to the port commissioners, that it would be helpful to understand their perspective on START. Now, anyway, I won't go on to that.
So, I just wanted to add, Nancy, that people on this BAC committee need to understand that the START committee meetings are extremely technical, and it will roll over anybody who doesn't have a vast amount of knowledge on a big variety of issues, which is, you know, they did that even with people that were very knowledgeable on the curfew, on the not the curfew, but the new noise limitations program, which isn't a limitations program at all. But they bowled over people on this, and it took a lot for them to get to, it took an awful lot for them to walk back a little bit what they had done with going out to the media and everything about the big strides that were being made, which was fake. I mean, it was all false information. But all I'm saying is that going into the START committee isn't something that, I mean, it's good to have knowledge of the abuse, like Mayor Mata was talking about. I've lived that abuse. I lived in a new flight path, and it ruined and destroyed my life, my home, my family, everything I had. So it takes that, but it also takes a long process of educating yourself on the aviation speak and understanding what they mean, what's behind what they say. So there's always another agenda behind what they say or what they will concede. And it is never in our favor. We have very opposing interests all the time. Very opposing. So environment and aviation, they don't go together well.
All right. Debbie, I agree with you. In sitting in those START meetings, even though, you know, I started several years ago trying to figure out this language and barely know what most of the people on the call know. And I find in those START discussions, it's very technical. So I want to move on the agenda. Sharon, do you have something?
Just a quick comment that since we've agreed to postpone, maybe our homework task would be for us to send to you a list of any conditions we think should be addressed should we return, because I was gravitating to number 2 or 3, and it sounds like there's still outstanding issues, and I think part of our deliberation process is to look at what else is out there that we might want to as a group adopt and say these are the conditions under which we would go back and see if there's still room for negotiation. There may not be, but maybe there is.
So I think that's an excellent idea, Sharon. And I'll resend the 13 questions memo so that folks can take a look at that. And then if there are other conditions under which we would return, we can talk about that next time.
Okay.
Thank you. We have two agenda items that we need to make decisions on tonight. One is the suggestion for the location of the noise monitor, and I'm trying to go back through my email. Sharon, you wrote an articulate letter to all of us about your thinking on this. And so maybe you can just talk about it, and we can, as a group, decide if that makes sense, and then put that recommendation forth.
Well, it was pretty basic about first to say, yes, we want to participate in the competition for a temporary noise monitor. It seemed to me that the outstanding issue that was never really adequately addressed, although FAA would say they addressed it in their CADEX report, but they really didn't, is the new noise from the new route. And I proposed an area of the study area that was identified in the CADEX report that would be likely a good location. And then also mentioned that there are some criteria for siting monitors which should be addressed, because you don't want the sound buffered or shielded because of surrounding area. But I think we should just basically, unless someone's got objections, take those criteria and the bulk of what I mentioned, and then forward that to the port in response to meet their deadline. And if it, if they have to have an absolute location or something by the 24th, then ask for an extension, because it's pretty tricky to find a good place, because let's say you want it near a schoolyard or at a schoolyard, and schools are often locations where noise monitors are located. You have to get permission through the local district. So this isn't something that just, it isn't a snap of the finger. It takes time. And as I mentioned in my email, I spent considerable amounts of time siting noise monitors. Now, I was siting permanent ones, but I did also site some portable ones. But I also think that the time that they wanted to, you know, 2 weeks or no more than a certain period, I don't even remember what it was really inadequate given the different climate changes that occur that would reduce the effectiveness of the data sample or the sampled data. Yeah. And that was one of the problems I had with the CADEX report, is they set out a monitor, but they didn't set it out very long. And, you know, if, for instance, we're not North Flow, we don't know when they do this either, the sampling. Let's say they do it in November. Well, hell, there aren't many North Flow flights in November, so you're not getting a good sample. So they need to be quizzed a little bit about what they're willing to commit to in terms of the data, because otherwise it's just an exercise that won't give it, we won't be satisfied with the results.
Well, and if it's done this year, when I don't know what percentage of flights, I know there's some discussion of percentage of passengers that have returned, but, and I know the airlines are flying empty planes or half full planes. So I don't know what the percent of flights are, but it's fewer than what we have experienced in the past. And so this is a time, if we're measuring noise in the time of COVID, it may not be an accurate representation of.
No, it is. So, actually, next summer would be better, because assuming that
we're out of this,
airlines have returned, but they're saying it's 3 or 4 years out before they may return to normal. So it's a good idea, but they could extend the time. That might be the negotiating point, is to say, okay, we'd like to do it sooner, but we want a longer sampling period, because otherwise you just don't get good results.
Right. And the use of it will be, there isn't a problem. I mean, that's, you know, so it becomes a tool against the concerns that exist in the community.
Right.
All right. Well, it sounds like, I think you've made some good points. Maybe we can draft, based on your email and some of the additional information you've just given, are you all okay if we draft a response, share it with you, see if, you know, this, unless someone has any other alternative suggestion here, but okay.
There's nobody more capable than Sharon to even deal with this. And I think between you, the chair, and Sharon, if you're willing, and maybe some input from Debbie to run with this, and I think you guys are the experts, and especially Sharon, if she's willing to take that little project on, I would recommend.
I would just take the bulk of the email deleting my reference to being at King County Airport. Just simply to say, we want an extended period of time, and we may need more time to find a location. They don't really make it clear who, because it's their equipment, and it would normally fall to the airport to actually make the final decision. So we've given them kind of a proximity. I'm even comfortable with them going out and doing that themselves, bringing that back to us and say, what do you think? Because they have to, it's their responsibility to work with the local school districts and whomever else, like the park. Then they have to work through the city of Burien to cite that. So there's things that we can't do, only they can do.
Okay. All right. So it sounds like we've got any disagreement in the approach that we just outlined, that we take the essence of what Sharon has said and draft a memo that we can share with you.
I want to say that I support Sharon's work and I see the value in it, and I have worked with temporary monitors, but just at this time, I just would like to abstain my vote. But I just want to say verbally that I support the work that you're doing, and I know the value in that, but just again, in looking at that inclusive voice of who's had an opportunity to view this and see how it impacts, or just how this is a priority and how this unfolds, I just want to stick to that commitment of being able to hear everyone in Burien. But thank you for your work. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Nakaya. Javier, you have your hand raised, or?
Yeah, just very briefly, I support what Sharon said, and I just wanted to say that I have a hard cutoff at 7:30, so I apologize. I'm going to have to leave early today.
All right. Thank you. The last topic, thanks, Javier, if you can stay 2 minutes. Do we want to recommend some individuals to participate in the discussion with GAO? As I understand this, it's an online, it's going to be a Zoom meeting or something. And they're looking for someone to represent our community who knows something about the PBN next gen rollout. As I understand it, the folks in our community who know the most about this are somewhere between Larry and Walt Bala and Debbie. The person who I think knows more about all of it, not necessarily more, but a lot, is David Goble on Vashon. I did reach out to him. He thinks he will be in a conversation with GAO because they will also include Vashon because they know it's impacted. So could we suggest that maybe Debbie and Larry be our two representatives with Walt as an advisory backup? I'm not making that nomination here.
I'm okay with that. And I also will volunteer to consult with you as needed, because I'm very familiar with RPNs. And we tried to have one at Boeing Field, and I won't even go there, but nevertheless, I've done some research into that area, on that subject, in fact, quite a bit of research. And in addition, Boeing Field, when they did their Part 150, had what were called combined contours created for their noise exposure maps, which indicated the sound levels, the decibel levels, and the eligibility levels.
Sharon, I'm sorry to cut you off, but before Javier signs off, I'd like to just get a vote here of whether this committee is willing to recommend Debbie and Larry with backup from Sharon, you, and Walt in doing this. I mean, unless Sharon, you want to sit in this call, if you would prefer to do that, then maybe Larry or Debbie would be the backup. So help me here.
Let me be the backup, Sharon. You sit on the call with Debbie, and I'll back you up, and I'll try to get Walt to back us both up.
Okay.
Debbie and Sharon. Okay, so we're changing this a little bit. Debbie and Sharon be
our and I'll back you up. Yeah.
Okay.
Larry and Walt. Sound okay? Are people okay with this?
I'm okay.
Hunt, thumbs up. Okay. Debbie, I don't see your thumb, but I'll assume that you're nodding your head. Okay. All right, we are past time, and I'm sorry we didn't get all the way through the agenda, nor did we get to public comment. I hate to have people participating who don't have a chance to make public comment, so if you're willing to stick around for a few more minutes, Javier, I know you have to sign off. Does anyone have public comment of in the attendees here? I don't see anybody raising their hands, so I'm going to assume not.
Nancy, for the next meeting, can we send out that letter that Sharon and Nakai and I worked on for the committee to review, to recommend that it be sent?
So the discussion, and it relates to what Mayor Mata was saying about the four commissioners talking to our committee, because that was the intent of the original letter. And I think I'm happy to send out sort of the original letter, the revised letter, and have a conversation around what we want to invite the four commissioners to come and talk to us about. It may not be START, which is not what that letter is about. So, I think we've got, and it's not our letter. It would be a letter that would go to the city council to ask them.
I'm just asking that, could we approve it as the, you know, put it out to the back to suggest that they might approve sending this to council to consider sending it to the commissioners?
Yes, what I'd like to have a discussion on is what is it we want to invite the four commissioners to come and talk to us about, and that letter is one example. So
disparities. That's what it outlines is disparities. Right. And we have more COVID cases in Buren while we're second in the county. We're second for COVID cases. So
right. Sheila Brush has put her hand up since I asked for public comment. Sheila, do you have something to say?
Yes. What I want to say is I really want to thank all of you, because you're it. You're the last airport committee. And while you say, especially Mayor Mata, that you're representing the citizens of Burien, really you are representing all the impacted fence line communities, and especially those that do not have a voice. Like one of the things that was flushed out in START is they've yet to mitigate the low income apartment buildings. And when pushed, the port replied that they have not mitigated apartments because they are low income, and they still have not thought outside of the box of how to work with the owner of those low income apartments. So whether those people are in SeaTac or whether they're in Des Moines or whether they're in Burien, you really are the only committee representing everyone. And I can't stress enough, the work you're doing is so valuable and how much I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks, Sheila. Dave Kaplan has his hand up.
Yeah, I'm sorry I wasn't going to say anything, but I'm not going to let that stand. The issue of doing multifamily housing has been a longstanding issue. They've been trying to get through the single family homes, and it's taken a long time, both because of federal reimbursement and the lack of the ability to get that moving forward.
Dave, that's not true, and you weren't in that closed door meeting. And what came out in that closed door meeting is they didn't know how to navigate yet with apartment owners, because if you did go ahead and do the mitigation, they could sell them. And what also came out in that meeting is that you could somehow write a caveat. Now, you weren't in that meeting, so you cannot have a point of view, because it was in a closed door meeting. You could have a point of view. You could make a comment on the record from the Port of Seattle if you would audio or videotape those meetings. But I have plenty of witnesses that were in that meeting, because the room literally erupted. So you weren't there, so you don't have a chance to weigh in on this.
All right, another topic for another agenda. Do I have a motion to adjourn our meeting? All right.
Second.
Armada, second from Sharon. All those.
Before we close the meeting, how do we get contact information, Nancy, so that I can communicate offline with all the other airport committee members like Nakia and Sophia? I know how to get a hold of Mayor Mata. I know how to get a hold of you.
You want phone numbers, Larry? Because the email, you have everybody's email in the list. So when the list goes out, you have everyone's email.
I got their email. I'll reach out to you via email, and then we'll get back on the horn. Okay.
Okay.
Sounds good. Thanks, everybody.
Bye. Thank you. Thank you, everybody, for your engagement. Thank you.
Bye. All right.
Schools in Finland closed for about 2 months. Schools in Sweden never closed. They found that rates of infectivity, rates of hospitalization, rates of death among kids 1 to 19 were exactly the same in both countries. In fact, no children aged 1 to 19 had died in either country. And this is really important because you hear the teachers complaining, oh, I'm at risk. In fact, rates of infection among teachers in Sweden were lower than the overall population. It's because children don't spread this very frequently. Yeah, I know, it's hard to believe. Schools are actually probably a decent place for those teachers to